to adjust the sound on me, because I remember you said when you did it the first time on Discord, you had to turn me all the way up or whatever. How did it compare to this last time?
I balanced it by turning you up a little bit and turning Joy down a little bit. Because for some reason, Joy's is the loudest and you're not even using a microphone, which is bizarre to
me. Yeah, that's really weird.
I know, it's just my laptop.
Also, Joy, considering you have terrible hearing, I'm surprised you don't have headphones on.
She probably doesn't hear half the shit we say.
Oh, well.
No, I do!
Didn't hear that, because she would look around the room like,
No, because it's starting to think why I don't have them. But it's because the ones that I have, they're for my phone. So they don't have the same jack, so I can't put it in the laptop. So then I'd have to record on my phone. Which is harder because I have the notes on my phone, which I could put on my laptop, but, you know.
Interesting.
Because when I watch, I don't want to have my whole laptop out and like not pay attention.
Do you sometimes on your end hear like a delay? Like it'll be silent and then it'll catch up really fast. Do y'all hear that on your end at all?
Yeah, occasionally.
I heard it when I was listening to Killers. I noticed that. I was like, oh, I don't know if that's like the connection or what that is, but I noticed it this time.
Weird. I will say I didn't as diligently listen through all of Killers like I did the holdovers. So,
It's really easy for me at work because I'll just put it on and do work stuff, and then if something pops up or like a link I'll remember, I'll put a note. And then when I have a spot where I can pause my work, I'll do the actual work that I want to do. So. picking the music for this post was so hard because I was like, can we just play the whole orchestra, everything? Play the whole music. Because I was just like, everything was so good. But I'm also
that guy knows what he's doing.
For orchestra, so like, ugh.
Well, since we're talking about it, hi everyone. Welcome back to We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we're back with our Conversations with Oscar series, where we're discussing the Best Picture nominees of the current 2024 season. Today, we're talking about Maestro. This love story chronicles the lifelong relationship of conductor-composer Leonard Bernstein and actress Felicia Montalegre Cohn Bernstein. It was nominated for 7 awards, including Best Picture. It was nominated for Lead Actor Bradley Cooper, Lead Actress Carrie Mulligan, Cinematography Matthew Libatique, Original Screenplay Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer, Makeup and Hairstyling Kazuhiro Kei Georgiou and Laurie McCoy Bell, Sound by Stephen Morrow, Richard King, Jason Rutter, Tom Osnick, and Dean A. Zupakic. This is Maestro. Jump into it. What did we think?
Boo!
Thank God.
First of all, actually, no boo. It's like, there's some good stuff, there's some bad stuff. I feel like I knew that's what you guys were going to say, so I jumped ahead. But my take is that Bradley Cooper is gonna be like Leonardo DiCaprio in that he does crazier and crazier shit to get an Oscar, and he's just gonna get lost somewhere in the middle of it, and this is just a little all over the place, which can be fine. but it's a little messy.
I think Bradley Cooper is a fine actor. I think he's an okay director, and I do not think he should be writing scripts. Crystal, damn. What say you?
Well, not boo, first of all. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either. I think it stems from the fact that I am such a huge fan of this type of music and this just like genre of music, I guess, that it's propelling my love for it more than anything else. Well, love is a strong word. My like for it. I will definitely agree that he is a terrible writer. And what was that? No, sir.
Script was terrible.
I will say he's a great director because I liked A Star is Born. I thought he did a really great job there. And he's a great actor. It's just the writing that, like, I was trying to figure out what was bothering me because I'm like, he feels so, like, he wants an Oscar so bad. Like, Rami Malek beating him really, really did him in. And it's because he has, like, theater kid energy, like, to the highest degree. And not everybody can handle that type of energy. It's going to come off as try hard or desperate he really does love it. She's like the Anne Hathaway of actors, you know? And I like Anne Hathaway in doses. And I never thought I'd feel this way about Bradley Cooper. Like, I was fine with him. And I'm like, okay, I get it, honey. I get it. You love it. Me too. Dial it back. I think it's funny how the two movies that he's been a huge part of, that he has given the female lead a really good role, whereas his role's like not as great. Which is actually, I mean, good for him, or good for them rather. But it's his theater kid energy. That's a lot to take. And I liked it better the second time around. I wouldn't say that it's a great movie, but if I want to revisit it this world, I'm just going to listen to the soundtrack. Because that's really what I was loving, was that. And there are some great shots in there, but Matthew LeBatique, go off.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think my biggest qualm with this, obviously, is the script. And not so much that it's poorly written, but I think it focused on the wrong thing. Like, I know that he wanted to make this as like a love story and like there's a great woman behind the man situation and all of that. But I feel like it would have been maybe a better idea to show all his accomplishments and what he did. And also he did that as a gay man, and how, as if to say, like, look, a gay man did that. He did all of that. He was so influential and in classical music. Like, he is the one who, like, before that, orchestra and conducting all of that was really, really famous in Europe. He's the one who brought it to America. Like, he is with the Young People's Concert that he had that went on for years. He was writing, he was conducting, he hosted that show. And that was a show that people would watch as a family. And they were introduced to composers and music. He was, like, giving out music education on television. There's a large generation of musicians in classical music, just general music, that are a fan of that because of him. And you would never know that from this. He had such a great influential part in all of that. And it just wasn't here. They touch on it a little bit when he's talking about, oh yeah, Carey Mulligan saying, oh, he wrote some pieces for Young People's Concert and oh my God, I forgot what it's called, from the Omnibus, Omnibus was like another teacher thing that he did, but, okay, so do y'all know about the Young People's Concert?
No.
Vaguely.
Okay, so Omnibus was also originally, like, music education. There's a pretty well-known image of him teaching how to read music, and he has, like, the wall, the floor of the studio is painted in measures and has notes, and so he has people standing on the measures with their notes and, like, kind of like dancing to what they were supposed to, like, they're playing this note, he's a violin, he plays this. He was educating people, music education, right, music theory. And so when he became the New York the musical director of the New York Philharmonic, the Young People's Concert was something they had been doing since like the 20s. But he's the one who brought it to like CBS or NBC or whatever it was. He brought it to television. He's the one who did that. Such a monumental thing. And I would have liked to focus on his accomplishments, West Side Story too, like all his things that he wrote, and shown that like, I don't know. I feel like they could have still had a great love story within the movie, because they did love each other and they're seemingly good parents. They're good to their children. Their children still rave about them to this day. And I think that's really great. But I think to subdue his accomplishments, since he was so influential in that, was maybe a problem. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I felt like this was a vanity project disguised as a love story.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't know what the words. It's interesting because like before I saw the movie and everything like leading up to this, everybody was like, they were so in love and it's a love story and it's a romance and it, you know, all of his music was influenced by her and blah, blah, blah. And like, even though you do see some of that, I don't fully see that either. Like, he seems so distracted by everything else that I guess that ties into like it being all over the place because he's so distracted by everything that's going on, whether it's his kids or his wife or his, you know, partners or, you know, whoever he's like conducting with at that time. So he's all over the place, which I guess makes sense for the movie if that's how he really was. But like, I had no idea that he was so pivotal to music education. I just know West Side Story, which is amazing.
Yeah, most people do. This would have been a really great opportunity to show people, like, whether you realize it or not, you were influenced by him in some way when it comes to music, if you were in band or choir as a young person.
Yeah.
I think it's telling that a lot of people don't know who Leonard Bernstein is, but yet they thought Lydia Tarr was a real person. I mean...
Oh my god.
In choir or anything, did any of you sing any Bernstein?
Not that I remember.
Am I saying it wrong? Is it Bernstein or Bernstein? Is it Bernstein?
Tomato, tomato.
Well, no, I mean,
I think in the movie, so normally, I think, so like the way I've heard it before is Bernstein. But in the movie, they were saying Bernstein, or maybe it's backwards. Whichever it was, whatever they said in the movie is definitely the opposite of how I've been saying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I can't remember what it was.
I honestly have never said his name that much out loud in my life, so I don't even know. But what were we asking on? I'm sorry.
If you've ever performed any of his work, band, choir.
Band for sure. I don't think choir. Although that was a million years ago, so I don't remember.
Yeah, you were in a good band that played some really good pieces, so I'm sure you did.
I, like two summers, I did the TCU All-State Choir Camp, and one year, To Chester Psalms was one of the pieces for All-State that year. So we learned most of the first and second or third act, I don't remember. One of my favorite pieces I've ever gotten to sing. It's so fun. But yeah, so I'm watching the movie and I totally forgot that was him. Like it had completely blanked on me until the credits started rolling and I was like, I know this. Was very excited to hear that.
Yeah, the music and the choices of the pieces were so good. And like, he has that pivotal scene where he's showing off his acting, where he's conducting he does like the whole piece as he's conducting the orchestra and the performers. And he's like so into it. And I like at that point I did get really sucked in and I was like, oh my God, I'm like front row seat at this orchestra. It's amazing. But I mean, the piece is really, it was really incredible. So I think it's more the music versus like the movie. I think that there's some really great cinematography that kind of like lends itself to the performances. And because he worked with Matthew Libatic for A Star Is Born. And there's something else that we just talked about that he also did.
Black Swan.
Black Swan, yes. So I know he is a great cinematographer. And I know he knows what he's doing and he can present this really well. But I think that like there'd be like a great scene and then there'd be like some mush. And then there'd be like a great scene and then there'd be some other stuff. And it's just, it's kind of like, so like, what did I learn about Leonard Bernstein? I didn't really learn anything.
The script was just such a mess. It was almost like the first half of it was almost like little vignettes that kind of connected together instead of a linear story.
Mm-hmm.
But then it like switched halfway through to a more linear story. I don't know. I don't think like that montage was as successful as they wanted it to be. Where we're seeing them in their courtship montage. I found it so choppy, and also the gimmick of we're going back in time, so it's black and white. However, would we have known that we went back in time if it were not for black and white?
It feels like, because that whole scene where, you know, they're talking about on the stage, it almost feels like they were going to make it a musical and then change their mind at the last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Which, man, that would have been great, but.
And also, Carrie like, Mulligan my, yeah, she was in, yeah. in Sarah Llewyn Davis.
I don't remember her singing that.
Also, that part where he, like, gets up to dance, I was like, I mean, I like song and dance. And I love me some Pure Waiting Men, but, like, this feels so self-indulgent, him getting up there. And yes. I'm like, baby, he needed someone to be like, Brad, look at me. Calm down. Less is more, babe. Okay? You got this. Okay. No one was there to like tell him that, and it was very clear.
And if you're gonna do more is more. Make it camp, make it May December. Don't do more and then nothing and then more and then like, I mean, you can do that. You can go through those extremes, you can go through those degrees, but it just didn't work. It just didn't work. And like, I know he's a good director. I obviously saw A Star Is Born a million times, so I know he's great, but like, I don't know. I think maybe it's one of those cases where like, it's like he's got too many spinning plates. He needs to put like three plates down so he can spin one really good plate and keep it up. Because also like, I don't know what Leonard Bernstein sounds like in actual life, what he actually sounds like. But does he sound like this? Because now I'm only going to hear him in Bradley Cooper's whatever this voice was.
Bradley Cooper,
but I don't know if that's actually true to who he was.
Bradley Cooper was congested and then he just went with it.
He smoked too much.
I think the nose prosthetic was so big it literally altered the way he spoke. He couldn't move his lip. But also, with like the prosthetic and the makeup, I think he could have used a contact lens to kind of dim his bright blue eyes, because when he would smile with the bright blue eyes and that nose, like, I'm not even kidding, nightmare fuel.
What?
There were some moments where he would like get this grin and his super white teeth with like the tanned makeup of the tan of the makeup and those bright eyes. I was like, this is like seriously terrifying.
I get what you mean. Like his dark skin with his light eyes was too much of a contrast, and they needed to
with the white teeth too
to even it out. It was too. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Is he wearing not 9 years old? I need to check.
I don't know. With the, how like, much I'm he sure smoked, those teeth should have been a little more yellow.
For sure. For sure. And you know what? I know that smarter, more educated, more better people than us have discussed it, but like, again, was the prosthetic really necessary, or did he just was he just using that as an excuse to get more into character or whatever? Like,
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, his kids said the prosthetic didn't bother them, so it didn't bother them. It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But I can see why someone would get
offended. So outlandish.
I understand. But actually, it being outlandish fits with the movie.
The movie's outlandish. I found
it distracting.
You know what? Okay, back to the black and white scenes. I don't like that. So, like, when things are black and white and they're done correctly, the white should still register, like, some information. You should still be able to see something there instead of it just being, like, blown out, like, really white. But the whites in all of this were so, like, bright and so, like, overwhelming the entire scene. I just felt like it didn't fit. I don't know if that was like a stylistic choice that he used that to like, ooh, the dream, the past, the whatever. But it just didn't look right to me. I wasn't loving that choice. I didn't like it. I thought it was too like, it's too much light. It just like it blurred everything else.
Just going back to like weird script choices real quick. I just have this little note. There was one scene where they're getting ready and he's putting on his tie and she goes to help him and they like awkwardly move out onto the balcony. It was the most clunky.
Oh, that one.
Direction. Like he was sitting there doing his sign. She goes, here, let me help you. And then she leads him out onto the balcony and then does it. And I'm like, did you walk?
Like weird, yeah, weird like staging choices. Like another thing too, whenever it turns to color and they're at that party and it's a scene of Felicia like sitting in a windowsill and she's talking to two people, but only the man and Felicia are visible. The woman who's sitting to the right of Felicia is talking, but you don't see her. So the camera is like on the side of the curtain. And it's just like a voice. Like why would you, that why this shot so weirdly? Why would you do that? That didn't make any sense to me.
See, I'm wondering if Bradley Cooper is a solid director and not an artistic director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like he's done some good work. A Star Is Born was good. There are parts of this that were good. But there were parts of this that also stood out for how not good they were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess we'll see. I think, okay, so like he's got two projects down, right? So let's give him, let's wait to see the next one. And if it is a miss, then I guess The Star Is Born was a fluke and that was just like right movie, right time.
I think hopefully next time he'll like be able to reel himself in a little bit more. Because I think he just went a little too overboard this time. And I love Carey Mulligan. She's one of my favorite actresses. I love her. But maybe it's just my ears, but did she have a British accent for a lot of this movie? And also, why did she? That didn't make any sense to me.
Her accent was kind of like fluctuating certain different places. Like it was like,
well, weren't her parents European? Or her mom?
Yeah. Yeah, so he says it that, like, she was born in Chile, but her family is, on her dad's side, Jewish from the U.S., and on her mom's side, they're European. So she really is, like, from a couple of different places, but, like, I don't know that being from a couple of different places makes your accent fluctuate that much.
Well, here's another thing, too, that this might solve the problem. If this was supposed to be, because the ending shot of the movie is Felicia, as if to say the maestro is Felicia. This is a movie about her. But yet we don't really know anything about her. Everything that we know about her is in relation to Leonard Bernstein, which I guess is the point. But like, we really rarely see her acting. It's very little. She's just basically a mom and a wife. Which is fine, but she had her own dream. She had her own career. She had, you know, she was more than him. And I, if it was really about her, then we should have seen that. and maybe would have known why she has a British accent in this movie. You know, maybe would have known her background. She's from Chile and all this other stuff. I mean, the thing about her being from Chile, I learned while Googling during the movie. I didn't. They briefly touch on it.
About it.
Yeah, briefly touch on it. That's the thing. Like, they briefly touch on little things throughout the whole movie. And it's like, no, these are important. Like, why aren't you talking about them?
You know, I think it might be that, like, and it's something that we bring up every time we talk about a biopic. Did it need to go through this huge span of time, or should it have focused on a shorter span of time? Or if it did need to go through all of this, did we just need to fix it and, like, make it a little bit more cohesive?
Like a more focused period of time? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Because, like, two examples. Okay, so Selma, which was pretty much a biopic of Martin Luther King Jr., focused on his time, you know, organizing and getting together for the March on Washington. And then you have Rocket Man, which spans Elton John's pretty much entire life. And both of those were well done, and both of those were cohesive and, like, well executed. And they have two different timelines. So, like, if you're going to do one, do one. If you're going to do the other. But, like, I don't know. Maybe it was that he was just more focused on, Bradley Cooper was just more focused on himself and not focused on Lenny, the person, the artist, the all itself, all themselves. And, like, Felicia, the person, the artist, all of that, and their relationship. I don't know. You know what Carey Mulligan is really good at, and I noticed it in this movie. I don't know if it's a lot of her movies, but I think I've definitely seen it before from her. She's really good at playing modest, at being like playing someone who's humble, someone who's modest, someone who's just like, you know, nice and like down to earth and like a good person and just like, oh, thank you, you know. I don't really deserve it, but, you know, thanks. I really appreciate it. Whatever. She's really good at that without seeming, like, annoying. Like, some people are like, oh, no, don't clap for me. But actually, yes, clap for me. I need attention.
She's like that in real life, I feel. Like, the interviews that I've heard of her and read of her, she's very...
Yeah. It seems genuine from her. So that's why I think she's really good at playing it.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking that... if y'all remember The Theory of Everything, I think that did a better narrative job of showing, you know, the man's accomplishments, but also showing how integral his wife was to his success.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. That's a good one. So, yeah. It can be done.
It can be done, yeah. And that was, I think that started when he was a teenager, right, in college? I can't remember.
Yeah,
he was going into college, I think.
Right? Yeah, and that did a good job of showing that. I think what Bradley wanted to accomplish with this movie, that movie better, for sure.
I feel like if you're going to do these biopics, there has to be some separation of writer, director, and star.
Yeah,
because I feel like Bradley Cooper read through a biography and was like, oh, that would be fun to do. That would be fun for me to do. That would be fun for me to do. Let's see how we can make those three things connect.
Yeah, like you said, like you said earlier, like a series of vignettes.
Yeah.
He wasn't thinking of a story, he was just thinking of vignettes. Or, oh, I can't wait to do that to that part. Let me learn how to conduct. Like
And the fact that this got makeup and hairstyling and Barbie didn't.
I know. Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Makes me very angry.
I can't. I cannot. I mean, his hair looked great. His hair looked great, but like.
His hair was.
Barbie had like 1,000 wigs for all different people and all different outfits. So like. Rude.
Yeah. I had. I even had a note that when he's wearing that white sweater. And they're outside. His hair looked so luscious. I was like, I really want to put my hair.
Yes. To be fair, yeah, he did have some really good hair scenes. Yeah, I was just watching that. They look so like I don't know. He looks great. I mean, it's still Bradley Cooper, so I mean, he looks great. But like the cozy sweater, the like. First of all, their house, their like their land, their like garden, their pool, all of it, beautiful, 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 beautiful. I would go. I'd want to live there. It looks so cute. But also one of my notes was the apartment that he was sharing with his boyfriends in the beginning. Super cool layout. So
oh my
cool.
God. Can I tell you, like, I was nervous about this movie because I heard it was kind of like meh. But the beginning of the black and white, like that first black and white shot of uh-huh. the outline of the window.
Yes.
Right? And the light shining through, and then Bradley is on the phone in the bottom right, like in of the frame. Like astonishing. Astonishing. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's like my first note.
Oh my God. Shot is. And then was when the shot of Felicia by a curtain and the giant shadow of Leonard when he's conducting while Alda Cheto for Mahler's Fifth plays. Like, that was made for me. That entire shot was for me. Thank you, Bradley.
I love that you know exactly what that piece is. I'm so happy.
I watched it like a couple weeks ago, first time, and I literally watched that particular scene right before it cuts to color, like, 4 times in a row. I'm not even playing.
Oh my Mahler's God.
Smith, how dare you? Adachetto, get out of here.
I also really love the shot of when it's black and white and they're sitting back to back at the trees. That black beautiful. And white of the trees was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Gorgeous.
And then, of course, I did also write down the looming conductor shot. Thought I had more written down.
Do you have any more shots, Joy? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I have a shot list. I didn't write everything down because there was a lot. I mean, there wasn't as many as I have for like other films that we've watched this year, but there was still some. I think that the looming figure of Lenny on Felicia is so like, it can be a little heavy-handed on the storytelling, a little on the nose of like, you know, his career took off and, you know, she was also working, but then kind of like couldn't be as invested into her career and her artistic whatever as he was. And it was a little on the nose, but also it was so well executed that I will forgive it because it's good.
Yeah, I'll allow that one too, but the one I won't allow is farther into the movie where he's driving a car and It's the End of the World as We Know It plays, and the only Leonard Bernstein is really loud. Like, what? Bradley, no.
Yeah. A little too
on the nose.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Okay, so I'll go through some of my shots real quick because I guess I don't have as many as I thought I did. But yeah, Lenny on the phone with the light from the window and the silhouette. And I love that it goes on that whole time. There was something that this movie did well, is that shot. And there was a couple others, but I remember the one Lenny and Felicia talking on the poolside where the camera is super removed and you just get like an exterior shot and them kind of small in the center. I like that whole conversation played out that way because even from far away, it's more like what they're saying and how they're saying it, because that was such a like passive aggressive like conversation. Where she's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. And he's like, no, and it's just like, you don't need to see it to like hear the tension and hear like, yeah, that's not going
to
go well.
And props to them for acting with their voices. Like,
yeah,
you can feel it just by hearing it. So props to them.
Yeah, for sure. So that was good. There's an, I can't remember what it is, but there's more in there. The tracking shot from Lenny and his boyfriend's room to the auditorium where he's gonna play be conductor for the first time, that was gorgeous, just like the whole way there, and then how it opens up into the auditorium. I thought that was great. Again, a little on the nose, but you know.
I kind of feel like they would have stayed with that feel for the movie, like the whole like fantastical like type of movie, but then it just changed to like a regular biopic after that. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
You know, I do see how that could be more successful because like so much of his music and like he was so passionate about his music and so many people are so influenced by his music and it's such a like staple to American music. That yeah, had it been more like that, I think it would have done well.
And also that would have fed better into Bradley's theater kid energy that he had, was bringing to the film.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. What else? Oh, I guess that's it. Oh, I guess I didn't write more down. I was just seeing it and enjoying my eyeballs were enjoying it.
I know he was only in it for a little bit, but I think Matt Bomer did a really great job.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, great. That's also my next thing. Yeah, yes. Matt Bomer's fabulous. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But also, in the beginning, I did not believe Bradley Cooper as a gay man. Let me tell you. I can read a gay a mile away, and that was not a gay.
You didn't believe the bongos on the butt? You didn't believe that?
Again, so like, so on the nose with like what, oh, this is what a gay person does, and this is how a gay person acts, and so like flamboyant, and like it felt very stereotypical. But you know, the moment where I did believe him when he brings Felicia to meet Matt Bomer the first time, and they look at each other, and he's like, in his face, he's saying like, "Please be happy for me. I still love you, but I also love her." And you can see it all in his face. And I was like, "I believe you now. I believe."
That was some wild shit. Bringing one lover to meet the other.
It was, yeah.
Oh my God.
But that seems, I was like, "You've got to be kidding me."
That seemed pretty like they seemed very loosey goosey because later on, when he sees Matt Bomer in the street with his wife, and he tells the little kid like, "Oh, I've slept with both your parents." Like it just, I was like, "Oh, okay." All right.
Well, she knew at that when she met him, she knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About their relationship. Talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like Matt Bomer's face, whenever I love that the camera just stays on Matt Bomer's face while you hear them leave. Like, oh man. Yeah. Matt Bomer's like, okay, I got it. I'm on it. And he did a fantastic job. Props to him.
Yes. It was great. It was great. It was, yeah. He was such a pleasant little juicy little thing in there. It was good. He was good.
I have one question for you though.
Yes.
Who the fuck abandons Snoopy in the vegetable? I need to know.
Abandons what?
I said, who the fuck abandoned Snoopy in the vestibule? I need to know.
In the vestibule?
Okay, never mind. It was gonna be a funny joke, but y'all didn't get it.
I'm sorry, we're done. What? When did this happen?
Okay.
Oh, so, in the while they're fighting?
So when that scene starts, Leonard goes, "Who left Snoopy in the vestibule? How could you? Why did you leave him in here?" And so
I joke.
But it didn't hit clearly, so continue.
This movie introduced us to the newest little Nepo baby, Bradley Cooper's daughter.
Where?
He played their little daughter, little Maya Hawk. Oh. She's a little girl toddling around that's his daughter.
Mm.
Toddling around like she's two. She's a little bit older than that, but that was his daughter.
That's cute.
Also Maya Hawk. I'm sorry. It's always good to see her around. Love her.
Yes. There were some Broadway people in this.
Ooh, list them.
Standouts were Nick Blamire at the first party where he meets Carrie Mulligan. He's the one that's singing. Love him. And then the other big one was Gideon Glick, who plays his lover at the end of the film. The young guy with the hair. Sorry?
Oh.
Tommy? Yeah, Tommy.
Oh.
I got to see him as the other little boy in To Kill a Mockingbird, not Jem, but the other one, the friend that comes for the summer or whatever. He's really great. He's also in the original cast of Spring Awakening.
Oh, really?
He was the original character named Ernst, the gay one.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
Also recognized dancers.
Love that. You did? Mm-hmm. Who? Whomst?
I didn't write down what season he won, but Ricky won and Gabby also won. And they were both in the On the Town.
Gabby? Like Gabby from So You Think You Can Dance?
Mm-hmm. Is he? Gabby and Ricky were also there. Ricky was also there.
Mm. Oh, Greg Hildreth, Michael Urey. Those are some other names.
Just naming people now.
I mean, other people that are Broadway people.
Well, Michael Urey, I know him from Ugly Betty.
Oh, and I did recognize a dancer, Ryan Steele. He's a Broadway dancer.
Love that.
So, any other notes?
Let me see.
What we got?
Oh, this is before the movie, but I noticed it the second time that the Leah Pictures logo, Bradley Cooper's production company, is actually really sweet. It's like a hand drawing. And I don't know if it was the daughter who did it, but it might may have been. It was really cute.
It's so
let's see. Also like the shot of Leonard and Felicia on the stage when they're doing that, like they're doing their first date or whatever. And the light behind them, like right before they kiss. That's a really nice shot as well. What else? Ricky and Gabby. People's concert. I do miss being in choir. Watching this, I was like, oh man, that was a fun time. You can't really do it as an adult, I don't think, so I don't know.
Yeah, you can. There's plenty of choirs you can join.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know.
We'll talk.
also that another thing that was like, this is on the nose, but also really funny, was when Tommy comes to the house, and that scene is scored by the Jets and Sharks.
Yes! immediately the battle.
That was so funny. Dun, dun, dun. I'm dying.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
I have a note here, and I can't remember the exact conversation, but I wrote, "Murder is great pillow talk." So I guess it's after they've had sex at some point that
he's talking
about murder.
Yeah. I can't remember why, but yes. Interesting. Interesting way to make someone fall in love with you.
Had this movie been actually about Felicia, I think it would have been interesting to go more into, because that line she says to Sarah Silverman later on at the lunch, and she's like, "It's my own ignorance. You know, I thought I could survive on the love you could give me." I'm like, oh, it's so heartbreaking. And that would have been really interesting to go into that, to more into that feeling, because I'm sure she's not the only one. I'm sure that's happened to millions of times.
Because there's that moment earlier in the film where they're at like a picnic, I think. Mm-hmm. Her and Sarah Silverman are sitting on the blanket, and she's saying, like, "I'm giving all of this up to support him. Like, I'm choosing to do this because it's what is better for him and better for us, and I understand who he is, and I'm accepting it." And then later on she's like, "I couldn't do it too long. Turns out I was wrong." I did like showing both of those conversations.
Yeah But again, they were just so brief and little. I needed more.
You know, because especially the contrast of, she was so confident that first time in the picnic, and just being like, "Well, I know who he is, and I know what he does, and, you know, I know what he's capable of." And then in the end, just being like, "Well, I couldn't do it." That was so sad. Her face looked so sad when that was happening. And I was like.
Also, another note I have is when he's conducting, and I was like, you know, that first row of the orchestra has all his sweat on. Because he's just like flailing everywhere. I'm like, ooh, you know.
They gotta wear the raincoats.
Yeah. Also, let me go see an orchestra. Oh, man. I haven't been to one in forever.
Ugh. Oh, my God. I need you guys to come visit so we can watch the candlelight concerts because, holy shit, when I tell you, it was so great. It was so great.
I think they have them in Dallas, too. Yeah,
they do?
Yeah.
Let's go see one. Oh, my God. So, the one I saw was the Hans Zimmer one. And the first song they played was Time from Inception. And I was like, don't cry. That's when you ascend. Yes. I literally felt it. I was like, all right, I'm ascending into the heavens. This is it. It's never going to get any better than this. And like, just also because it wasn't such a huge venue. So it was pretty close to the stage anyways. And like it was in a church or like a chapel or something. So the acoustics were wonderful in there.
Oh my God.
It sounded so nice. And I was like, man, this is a good use of my money and my time and my everything. This makes life worth living. It's great.
I had a note, but I lost it. Oh, towards the end, like, I think, like, didn't have to have this in there, but like, him hooking up with a student is problematic. Like, even if that was real, like, why was that in there? Because he was not doing that stuff at all before. So it just felt like, I don't know, out of character maybe, but it just felt like, why? Like, because Tommy wasn't a student. Tommy was just like a friend he made at a party.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like that at all.
Tommy was still younger than him, but not like as young as a student.
Yeah, I think that it's not so much the age, it's the student part. Like, he's showing him how to conduct, and the next scene is they're, like, making out on a dance floor. And I'm like,
Although, I want to be at that club. That was a banging song. That was a good song.
I think I read that was at his house. That wasn't a club.
Oh.
Oh, dang.
Like, those parties.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Something. That's,
I want to get invited to that party.
What else? I'm trying to.
Sorry, that
clicked. Yeah, I just think it had good moments, but I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to take away from it because you say Felicia is the main character, but you didn't present it that way.
What we're supposed to take away, what Bradley Cooper wants us to take away, is to vote for him as best actor.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it. That's the.
You know, I'm going to be really disheartened if, like, at the end of Bradley Cooper's career, they're like, man, we should have given him director for A Star Is Born or actor for A Star Is Born. And,
because I don't remember who'd won director that year.
I mean, he didn't even get nominated that year.
I know, but who won that year?
Let me check.
Because I do remember us talking about how he should have been there, because I thought he was good enough for that.
What was that, 2019? Let me see.
Don't ask me.
1 second. Someone say something while I look this up.
Okay. Another thing I'll say, my last note is that I really liked Felicia's navy flowing dress that she had with the cape. It was what she was wearing at the orchestra whenever Leonard was like getting applauded. And she's like, okay, it's all like, an audible, but like she's saying like I'm gonna go, and she's walking down that long hallway.
Oh yeah,
like, his toothbrush and slippers and all that. And she's wearing this really beautiful flowy navy dress with a cape, and I thought that was gorgeous.
Beautiful. There's no way he was gonna win because it was Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
but his nom would have been a win because Adam McKay was in there for Vice.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Because everyone else deserved it. Spike Lee and then Paul Pawlowski for Cold War and Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite.
Oh, yeah. I do remember.
But it was Adam McKay.
Yeah, Adam McKay ruined it.
Fuck that bitch.
I do remember us being mad about that. True.
Yeah. I bet we can go back to the podcast episode.
Oh, yeah. I'll link it in the description. No, no problem.
Yay.
But I mean, yeah, that's all the notes I have. Anybody else?
That's all I've got.
All right, let's go through the categories.
Okay. Ooh, wow. So okay. Best picture.
Best picture. Yay, nay.
I say nay.
I mean, I say no, but again, Vice was nominated for Best Picture. So what is the bar? Do you know what I mean?
I think if like, we just take Vice out of it and just think of it like, what is the bar for us, not what is the bar okay, for the shitty
true.
Academy.
That's true. Okay. I mean, if you're going to nominate Maestro, we should nominate in May-December. But, I mean,
May-December was better, so.
That's what I mean. Like, it should. If I have to take one out, so far, it's going to be Maestro and put May-December in there. And that's saying a lot because I love classical music, so.
I know. Wow. The classical music couldn't even do it for you. Wow.
Yeah, because at least with May-December, I was moved. And I felt something. And the characters were really, like, rich. Whereas this is just a, like, Anna said, series of vignettes.
A mess. Yeah.
Yeah. A mess of vignettes.
That's what it is. Best actor in a leading role, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
I mean, I'm going to say no. I don't think he should.
I mean, just on his accent alone, I'm sorry. I really love this man, but like, I cannot stand by him with this. Like, I just, I really.
I feel bad. I mean,
he's done way better than this. And I'm not just talking about A Star Is Born. Like, what was the other one? Silver Linings Playbook. He was better.
He was better in that movie.
Yeah, so I mean, like,
what about The Hangover? He's great in those movies too, wasn't he?
I mean, he looks really hot in The Hangover, so fine, sure. Why not?
We've talked about this before, but we like when the Academy likes when the actor transforms himself into either another person or changes the trajectory of their career. Think of Todd Phillips. He was a comedic director, and then he directed Joker. Oh, he's this great director now. Like, they love that, especially when it comes to white men. So I'm not surprised by their affection for it.
Yeah.
But Baby Brad, no. This ain't it.
No.
They love to nominate white men doing biopics with a lot of makeup.
They're very addicted to that. They love it. It's their fave.
That's their bread and butter. They literally got to have one every single year. At least one. At least.
Yeah.
Either a hairpiece or a prosthetic or a losing a ton of weight or gaining a ton of weight. That transformative. That's acting, apparently. Whatever. Lead actress, Carey Mulligan.
She's against...
No, go ahead.
She's against Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan, and then Emma Stone for Poor Things.
This pains me, but no. She does not need to be here. I love her so much.
I would replace her with either Greta Lee from Past Lives or Natalie Portman from May-December.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen Past Lives yet, and I'll agree with that.
You would be right.
And like I said, this pains me because I love. But no, babe, this ain't it.
Yeah, I mean the scene at the dinner where she's with Sarah Silverman, great. But
well, also the scene that they submitted, I'm almost positive, is the cancer scene.
But that wasn't even her best scene.
I'm going to bet you $30 that's what they show. If they show clips at the ceremony, that's what they're.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's crying and it's emotional. And yeah, she's sad and she's a beautiful crier. But like, again, this ain't it.
She is a beautiful crier. She's just like, just really, she's so soft. Look, Silver Linings Playbook. Maybe I should watch that to see good acting.
I think Bradley she Cooper. Did. Great in this movie, and she elevated what she was given, but she was given trash. And that's the problem.
again, whenever these actors we talked about the last episode is like it's clear when the material that they're given is not great, you know.
Yeah.
And Carey Mulligan's one of those actors that's going to take a terrible script and act the crap out of it. Same with, I think Florence Pugh is also another great choice of that, because mm-hmm. what was that movie she was in with Harry Styles?
Don't Worry, Darling.
Yes, that movie was awful, but she is acting in that movie because she's like, I'm going to take this tiny script and make it big. It's going to be me. And she did it. She's great in that. That movie, mm-mm. But I always appreciate a hardworking actress. I love that.
Yeah. Best cinematography.
El Conde on Netflix. Oh, that's just a note I have. Sorry. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Thing.
I'm going to say yes because I was literally moved. Moved by those shots.
I think if it was going to get nominated for anything, it would be this. This is the one nomination I would give it. So, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, also, if it wasn't here, I wouldn't be mad. It would be fine. So,
yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
My only issue is I feel like the black and white here was gimmicky, and mm-hmm. that usually bothers me. But there were some really beautiful shots, so it's...
Right, yeah. You're not wrong.
It's a hit or miss again. Mm-hmm. Once again.
Best original screenplay, we have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, Past Lives. Hell fucking no.
What script? I don't know her.
Precisely.
What the? No. Get this out of here. No, you know what? This ain't it. Oh. Ay, ay, ay.
Makeup and hairstyling.
Makeup and hairstyling. We have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow.
No.
No.
Your nose ain't worth a nom.
Barbie should have been here. It took Barbie's spot. Maybe.
It did.
Your nose ain't worth the nom. Best sound, we have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1, which has now been taken off the title, so now it's just Dead Reckoning.
What?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And The Zone of Interest.
Is there not going to be a Part 2?
It's going to be called something different. It just won't be Part 2.
Oh, because I literally just watched it the other day.
Oh.
Finally.
Oh my God, what do you think?
We gotta chat.
Okay. Best sound, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Mainly because, again, orchestra and that entire scene of the resurrection is like, I'm really trying so hard to separate my love for classical music away from it, but it's really hard.
Yeah. I'll say sure. I don't think it's going to win, and that's fine.
No. I honestly don't think it's going to win anything.
Fine by me.
I don't think it's going to win anything. I think it's going to be their vibes, and that's it.
Which it shouldn't even be.
Yeah.
They're just there to look pretty on the red carpet, basically.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, too, I was looking at the credits, and I noticed that both Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese were producers on this film. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay. So Martin Scorsese can produce. So how about he get people to tell the stories of color and then he produce that? Because he clearly could do it.
And I think... Sorry, go ahead.
I read that it was supposed to be Steven Spielberg. It's supposed to be Steven Spielberg directing this, but then when he read the script or saw something, he was like, no, Brad. Oh, once he saw A Star is Born, he's like, no, you direct it. What a mistake.
Yeah, I think it would have been okay if Bradley didn't write the script. Because the direction isn't necessarily bad, but it's that script that's all over the place. It's just a mess.
Mess it is, yes.
Bradley didn't, he didn't write Stars Born, did he? No, he didn't.
He was one of the writers, yes. But,
Also, but that was an adaptation, so
there's more to go off.
A little bit, there's more of a structure there than this. I mean, yeah, someone's life, but you still have to put a narrative together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's an adaptation of an old form. This, I think, has more actual material to write on because it's an actual person's life, a person's life who is well documented. A Star is Born is fictional people.
And maybe that's it. Maybe it was too much. Too much for him to handle.
Too much information to, like, streamline.
I really think it was him going, I want to play that out. I want to play this. I want to do this. I want to do this. That doesn't look so fun, so we won't do that.
Yeah.
And just cherry-picked his way through
man's life. He's got to take his, like, vanity hat off. Be like, let me, nitty-gritty director, and a nitty-gritty writer. Because he's too concerned with being the star, essentially.
Yeah.
That he kind of just, like, tripped over his own foot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some rankings before we...
Okay.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
That's your line, Joy.
Not me.
I will go first. Okay. Sar at number... almost at three. Number four, I have Killers of the Flower Moon. Three is where I have Maestro. Two of the holdovers, and one is Barbie.
I have number four, Maestro. Number three, Killers of the Flower Moon. Two holdovers, and one Barbie. This movie, really, at the end of it, I just found myself mad.
Yeah.
Why is this? Why did I have to watch this?
Again, like I've said several times in this episode, it's the classical music that got me through. If this is about anything else, yeah. I would be the same with you. I'd be like, I'm done. I'm going to turn this off. Get me out of here. But it was you know what it was like? It was like when I used to watch those Step Up movies that I would just watch Dancing the Dancing Only.
Yeah.
It was like that.
This is a step. Bradley Cooper made a Step Up movie.
I would have sought this out to hear the music and see all of to see it. I'm mad that I had to watch it for this. You know?
Yeah. Just listen to the soundtrack and that's better. Because even in the soundtrack, they have, like, parts of the dialogue in the movie, much like A Star is Born. So just play the soundtrack. Well, then just listen to the different... Well, it's because they have... Whatever.
They have both, don't they?
It's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it to just have... Just listen to the soundtrack and not like...
Yeah.
Honestly.
Joy, what's your ranking?
Four is Maestro, three is Killers of the Flower Moon, two is Barbie, one the Holdovers.
What? Never would have thought you'd put Bradley Cooper so low.
Bitch, me neither. But, like, I gotta be honest. Even if I love him, I gotta be honest about the film.
Yeah.
I can't let his beautiful face cloud my judgment.
It's good that you can criticize your loved one.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I've come a long way. So, all right,
Eddie.
Thanks.
Any final thoughts?
Go to more classical music concerts. They're so great.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, they're great.
And honestly, I think for those, like, it doesn't matter where you sit. A lot of auditoriums are meant for the sound to be good everywhere.
Yeah, I just love the drama of it. I love the drama of a piece. Oh, God. I love it. Anyways, my nerd hat has been on fully this episode.
All right, that's it for us, folks. We'll be back in a few days with our next episode, so watch out for that. We love you, and see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.